Hello, my friends. How are you today? I hope the Lord is shining His blessings upon you, not only today, but every day. Welcome aboard. Oh, we've got an exciting adventure for you today in God's Word. But let's have a word of prayer first before we get underway. Okay? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for this time that we can share together around your word. Oh, I pray, Lord, everyone who hears it will get a blessing, including myself. Oh, I love those blessings, Lord. Oh, you are so good to us, Lord God. But there may be some out there, Lord, in fact, you know for sure who they are that are not saved, but think they are. And Lord, there's a problem, you know, we have that when we tell others we're saved, yet we walk around feeling filled with a lot of guilt. In fact, that's the name of the title, actually the title that I've given to today's message, Filled with Guilt, but Freed by the Blood, Freed by the Blood. Thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Now, we're going to start out by looking in the book of Romans, Romans to the Gentiles. And my text today has been inspired by Romans chapter 1, as the Apostle Paul delivers a scathing outline from the truth of God's word. Now, try to visualize Paul talking to the Romans there, and he's going to give this scathing outline. Wow. Okay, what we'll do, we'll read verses 18 to 21, keeping in mind that Paul is talking to the Gentiles here, okay? Okay, beginning now in verse 18 to 21. Okay, listen up, please. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Number 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Verse 20, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. So they are, well, they're without excuse. Without excuse. That last phrase, they are without excuse, is so important. Keep that in the back of your mind. Verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. My, oh my, what a sad commentary that is. What a sad commentary that is. Filled with guilt, but freed from the blood. Are you filled with guilt? Are you looking to be freed from all that guilt that bothers you from day to day, wandering? You having trouble with your marriage? Are you having problems in your home with your children or at work? You know, I was there. I've trodden that ground a long time ago, so I know of what I speak. But I'll tell you right now, what I speak, I found out by listening to God, by reading His scriptures, by hearing the Word of God coming under it, and allowing my heart to be open to it. And I'm so glad I did, because I have such comfort and peace in my heart. You know, I remember well the day I repented and believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the very first day, and how that Spirit of God moved in my heart and quickened me that I should not die in the lonely roadside ditch that I was in that cold October rain-filled night. Oh, I even hate to think about it. But it was a transition in my life that took place there. It was as though that the very hand of God was there because I cried out to him. I cried out to him as I'd never done before, right from my heart, because my life was over. It was as though the very hand of God lifted me out of the mire, and he began to use, yes, he began to use the world's greatest sinner to edify, to lift me up. He who had transformed me, he would transform me. He did transform me that very night. For some, it takes a while for the conversion to occur. For others, when they're right at the edge of eternity, sometimes the Lord just listens in. And depending on your heart, what you say, what you believe, what you make known to him, that conversion can or will not take place. So give yourselves over freely to God. Pray without ceasing, rather, and make sure you let your petitions be made known to God. Oh, yes. That same Spirit that has set me afoot, with the same Spirit that took away my desire, or was the same Spirit that took away my desire to drink, to cuss. The same Spirit that set me free from my nicotine habit, and the same Spirit that separated me to a simple room on an upper floor of an aged apartment dwelling. It was here, in this one-room apartment, I acquired my first Holy Bible, and it was here I sat gathering dust upon myself because I didn't know what to do. I was at the end of the rope. You know that rope, that proverbial rope you hang on to? Someone always says, tie a knot and then hang on. That's, I was hanging on, but I couldn't hold on much longer. I opened God's word. I read it. I prayed to God. I read some more. I prayed some more. I read some more. I prayed some more. And God answered me. Oh, he didn't stand there in front of me and say, listen up, Tom. Here's the way it is. No. He talked quietly to my heart. To my heart. I felt his presence as I thought I could never feel. Oh, what a great God we serve. I want you to know that. What a great God we serve. My life had been at a standstill. For the next several weeks, I cautiously perused my King James Bible. At once, like I said, it filled me with a peace and a joy I had never known in my entire life. Never. It was here that I felt, for the first time, the presence of Almighty God, the presence and the freedom, the newfound freedom that was coming upon me, even during that time, that first night. I was being set free by the blood, the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and I'd never, ever known him before. But he was there. In the scriptures, he was there in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For me, becoming a child of the King of Glory, well, it became, you might say, instantaneous. It wasn't a gradual conversion like so many have, but more so, as it were, it's so hard to explain because it's a feeling that God gives you, you don't have every day. I know there are many out there who've gone through the same thing. It was an instantaneous thing. It wasn't where I had to go to a courtroom or something, go through a drama and with a chain about my body and bound up in shackles and go through a long scenario of all the things I'd done wrong. No, it was between me and God, between me and God. And I held nothing back. I let him have it all. He knew it all anyway, but he wanted me to give it over to him and be washed in the blood, be washed in the blood. The shackles fell off. The shackles were gone. The suffering and loneliness and all the drama of my life just was being lifted like a giant weight. And I felt a peace. There were no attorneys present here now, mind you. I was alone. But yet all about me were multitudes of witnesses. I couldn't see them. They were God's heavenly host. I could sense their presence. I could sense their presence as I stood as the wretch that I was before my blessed Savior. There were no more tears shed. My eyes become dry. My eyes turned dry. I could see clearly again. But my heart was ablaze. It was on fire. I tried to look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. I was blinded by the brilliance of his presence. Now, I'm not saying there was a great light in front of me. No. But there was in my heart, in my being, there was a great light within me. I'd never experienced before. I knew the presence of a holy and righteous God had indwelt me at that moment. I was blinded by the brilliance of his presence. And when he spoke, everything around him became deathly quiet. The King of Kings was going to judge me. Suddenly my knees buckled. They buckled beneath me and I fell prostrate to the floor. And in the distance, the far-off distance, I could hear the heavenly choir begin to sing. It was the most beautiful sound I had ever heard. Another sinner had come home. Blessed be our God. It was so beautiful, unlike anything I had ever heard. Then, as suddenly as it began, it stopped. It stopped. Then he who sat upon the throne spoke as the thunder. As the thunder. John, come forth. I lifted up my eyes to see who bore the name of John. His garments were a shining white, and even whiter than snow. In his hand he held a giant scroll. I watched him as he bowed before the Lord. Then the voice of thunder, as he rose from his golden throne and pointed a finger at the beggar lying prostrate before him. And then he spoke. Then he spoke. John, read the repentant sinner's rites. Read the repentant sinner's rites, John. Then John flung the scroll as it unraveled before the throne, opening up across the floor, and on, it seemed like it was going endless to no ends, through the wall or up the wall. And then John began to read. John began to read. For the sin of blasphemy, we find Thomas Leo guilty, my Lord. For the sin of thievery in the sight of God, we find Thomas Leo guilty. Guilty, my Lord, for the sin of bearing false witness before my God. Guilty, my Lord, for the sin of denying a holy and righteous God. Guilty, my Lord, for the sin of taking the life of another without just cause. Guilty, my Lord, for the sin of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Guilty, my Lord. The list went on and on for what seemed to be an eternity until I fully realized we were all sinners before a holy and righteous God. I was condemned. Hellfire would be my home. I lay on my face, weeping like I'd never wept before. I wept until I could weep no more. And then I heard the voice of him who sat upon the throne. Only this time, it was soft and forgiving. Thomas, he said, lift up thine eyes so that I might wipe away thy tears. Look upon my face, Thomas, the face of he who saved you by his grace. Look, Thomas, see these nail-scarred hands, and look upon my feet, Thomas. See the nail prints there? Touch my garments. No, no, I cried, I am not worthy, O Lord. Thomas, my blood, the blood I shed for the sin of the whole world, so have I done for thee. It is finished. It is done. It is sufficient. My friends, no one, not a one of us is qualified to enter the throne room of mercy and grace except they repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know that. We deserve only that of which we fear most, hellfire. But that night, as God spoke to my heart, he went on to say, but Thomas, you have hearkened unto the word of the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. Then the choir sang. I could hear it in my head. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Amen. My friends, one day you too will stand before either the great white throne for judgment, or if you are one of his anointed, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your blessed Savior, then you will stand at the Bema seat to praise the Lord and to receive your rewards that you will cast at the Savior's feet. It is here at the Bema seat we will not be judged for our sins, for our sins will be covered by the blood of the Lamb. No, we who are under the blood will be cleansed. We will be anointed vessels, ready for the Master's use. Sin will have no more dominion over us. None. Then, and only then, will we look upon his face, the one who saved us by his grace. Tell me, how is it with you? Do you know for sure if you died today, in which court you would stand, and for what reason you would be there? Do you? Will you stand before a merciful judge who will welcome you to the fold? Or will you stand in another court, the great white throne judgment court, where there is no more hope, only judgment and total despair and eternal damnation? The Word of God tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The way I see it, there's no shortage of people calling upon the name of the Lord, but sad to say, with blasphemy on their lips, instead of words of praise and hope. Which group do you belong to? Those saved by the blood of the crucified one? Or those condemned to the fires of hell, filled with guilt? I urge you, people, I urge you, with all my heart, won't you make sure today, won't you please talk to God and make sure of your salvation? As long as you have a breath of life in you and you desire to spend eternity with Jesus, then it's not too late to repent, to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, repent is only a turning to God. And I'm not saying you won't sin anymore, but you turn away. You don't want that life anymore. You want Jesus. That's what repentance is. God is not willing that any should perish. I urge you, my friends, I urge you with all my heart to continue listening to this radio station, Just Jesus Radio, where the Lord has placed his stamp of spiritual approval for you and all who will come. You can check my website if you wish for hundreds of sermons, articles of faith. You'll find my personal testimony in great detail located under the heading of resume. It's all there. And you can listen to the other preachers who are on here every day. And they want to see you blessed, just as I do. Blessed in the name of the Lord. Won't you stay tuned? Because there's a blessing waiting for you. My friends, until we meet again, Until we meet again, let me say this short prayer for you. Please, dear Jesus, you've heard them. You've seen them. You've looked upon their hearts, Lord. You know, Lord, that they are searching for you. Oh, Lord, they don't have to go through an experience like I did. I know that, Lord. It's one of that is so simple. If they would only turn to you, Jesus. If they would only give their lives completely over and say the prayer of salvation. Oh, Lord God, thou art not willing any should perish. For God so loved the world that he did give his only begotten Son. We know that, Lord, for the sole purpose of redeeming us from the sin that we could not redeem ourselves from. Oh, how he suffered and bled and died for sinners like me. But the answer is so clear. It's so easy to do. Turn to thee. Cling to the cross. Cleave to it. Believe, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. I pray and ask these mercies in the name of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.